From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us as we move through this. I guess it's not an especially hot summer. It's just a hot summer. It's just redundant. That's James McCormick, the president of the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra, joins us.
Good morning, Bob. It's great to be with you on this balmy morning.
Yes, good to have you with us. Appreciate you taking the time. And so much happening. And I know one thing we always look forward to is your summer sing in August.
We'll talk
about that another, but just so people can circle the date.
Yes. You know, August 9th, if you're in town, ladies and gentlemen, on August 9th at St. John's Lutheran, the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra will be doing its annual summer sing, just people coming together for the joy of singing, and we're going to feature the Brahms Requiem. So if you want to circle the date, August 9th, St. John's Lutheran at 17th and L, 7 p.m., and there's good information at sacramentochoral.com.
Do they have to practice at home?
Well, it's a good idea because
people are invited to come sing.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And we provide the music at the door, and we have Lutheran air conditioning. So the real thing is going to be nice and cool. So
I got to check out Lutheran air conditioning.
But that's a separate event. Bob and I are here to talk about another event that's statewide.
And it's a big deal. And it's even has big in its name.
Big Sing California.
Big Sing California. I love the I love the title.
Isn't that something?
Big Sing California.
Bob, it's the brainchild of American composer Eric Whitaker. He's the artist in residence for the Los Angeles Master Chorale, based out of Disney Hall, where we performed back in 2008, in fact. Right. And so LA Master Chorale, they wanted to do some amazing outreach statewide just to get people to sing. So they approach, because they know that singing individually is good for their person, physically and morally.
Whether you're a conservative or a liberal, you can sing
all
together.
All barriers are broken down.
Yeah.
So if you sing individually, it's powerful. But when you sing as a group, as a community, as a state group of people that come together, then it's really powerful. And it is uplifting. Total release of endorphins. So Eric Whitaker, the brainchild, artist in residence for the LA Master Chorale, convinced the LA Master Chorale to help head this up. So they went to the James Irvine Foundation and got a grant for about $450,000 because they want Californians to join together in their local community to sing. So basically, we will have on July 21st a large chorus in California of probably more than 10,000 people singing at the same time. And so what we've done, LA has linked up, it will be a simulcast. LA is linking up Sacramento with San Francisco, with Fresno, Riverside, San Diego, and Los Angeles. So in those different hubs, they've appointed leaders. And so for the Sacramento hub, it made sense that they would appoint Donald Kendrick.
Doesn't surprise me.
So Don has pulled this together. We'll actually have a rehearsal. I'll talk about that shortly. But the main event, it's free. We provide the music. And it's on the 21st of July at 2 p.m. at the Sacramento Community Center Theater.
Saturday,
exactly. So the singers who come, and we're already close to 900, the singers who come will sit in the audience. And then Don Kendrick and the different conductors who will be simulcast will be conducting the event. Now, at the rehearsal on the 19th of July, which is on the website, it's optional. And Don will conduct that with a pianist on stage, John Koza. But the actual event itself is on Saturday the 21st at 2 p.m. So the doors will open at 1 p.m. And since it's simulcast, there'll be no intermission. We go from 2 to 3:30. And what we'll have, the images from Disney Hall will be projected up onto our large screen here. It will be real time. They came up the other day to test the internet connection, dedicated line, to make sure that the image will be crisp. Eric Whitaker is the master host and conductor of the event, but there'll be three or four other conductors based out of Los Angeles who will conduct different pieces on the show. So at the event itself, we'll be looking at this large screen standing up and singing along with them. And it will be real time. And it's going to be live streamed, lamasterchorale.org. So anyone even at home could sing along if they want to.
It sounds very complicated.
It's unbelievable. No, it's amazing. People register online. That's the whole thing. It's free.
Yeah, yeah.
But they expect you to register, and you'll get a ticket through Eventbrite.
Uh-huh.
You bring the ticket either on your iPhone or a printout on the day of the event. And then we'll link up all these locations, and we'll lift our voice in song. And the repertoire takes us back to our childhood. I mean, we're singing Hey Jude.
Oh, wow.
We're going to sing Lean on Me. And then Woody Guthrie's 1940, This Land Is Your Land.
Oh.
Isn't that something?
That's a beauty.
But look at the repertoire they chose. Lean on Me, the whole idea of supporting one another. Mm-hmm. Hey Jude is definitely a masterwork that takes us all back to the good times in the late 60s and 70s.
I was going to say, it wasn't quite my childhood.
Not quite for you, I'm sure. But there will be a couple of tunes. You don't have to read music to be at this event. It would help if you come to the rehearsal, but no problem if you don't. And everyone can sing Hey Jude and Lean on Me.
Yeah.
But there'll be a couple pieces by Eric Whitaker, sort of a classical nature, one by Morton Lauridsen, American composer. And so we can all sing what we can, grab those notes as many as we can. And then on the screen, the LA Master Chorale, they happen to have 100 paid professional singers in that chorus. They'll be on the screen also leading us. So we'll be singing, we'll be seeing different images from the different venues throughout the whole event. And I assure you, I think it's a healing experience.
Can people come and spectate if they don't want to sing?
Yes, they can. But chances are, if they come to spectate, so to speak, we would expect them to want to stand up and sing This Land Is Your Land.
Oh, yeah.
We actually start with the Star Spangled Banner.
Mm-hmm.
So even though you come to spectate, we would imagine you will be drawn in to the event.
Yeah.
We just want people who love music, who love building a sense of community, to come and be together.
Mm.
And to create the joy of singing, and that's Donald Kendrick's, that's his mantra.
Is this just adults?
As young as 6 years old.
Oh wow!
Yeah, we don't go much younger than six in case of outbursts. I don't know,
sure.
But we feel that if they're six or older, they're definitely welcome. And while most people are registering ahead of time, you can actually come on the day of the event, and we can make sure we provide tickets. So we know we'll top well over 1,000. Imagine 1,000 people singing at the same time in Sacramento, then the other 9,000 singing around California.
Now, somebody at home, can they watch this?
Exactly. If they log into the lamasterchorale.org site, again, if people go to our website, they'll see all the information they need to see. So it will be live streamed, and then they can even sing along if they want in their home. You know, God bless us.
Wow.
Yeah, it's powerful. I commend them. They really have been thinking outside the box. And you know what spawned this? Last year at the LA Master Chorale, they did a series of Big Sing Los Angeles in Grand Park, and like more than one. And they had tons of people who came, and they realized that, well, people just want to sing. So they thought, let's make this bigger than LA. And so it'll all be filmed out of Disney Hall, but again, they'll be able to see images of San Francisco. The San Francisco site is actually in Berkeley, and then
people in LA don't know the difference.
That's true. What do you mean, Fresno and Sacramento? Yeah, but it's powerful, and we're doing really well with our membership because summertime is pretty laid back. And by the way, it is summer casual.
Mm-hmm.
We encourage no halters or bikinis, et cetera, but it is very casual. And I think at this event, people can even tweet and do their Facebook postings right during the event.
Wow. So do they plan to make this an annual event?
I think they want it. This is the test run, and I think they want to see how well this goes. But I'm confident there's going to be a big aftermath to check out how we think things went. But the groundswell has been exciting.
Is there a you know, a model somewhere? Is somebody else? Is there Big Sing Texas?
The
or
model
something?
Is our good friend Eric Whitaker. He created about 2 or 3 years ago. He because he saw the power of the internet, and he knows the importance of singing, and he created what he calls a virtual choir, where people could register ahead of time, they could order some music and learn it, and then at a given point, there would be a main, probably it was LA, I think, where people could go log into the website, live stream, and sing along with Eric Whitaker. So that was, in fact, anyone around the world who logs into LA Master Chorale at 2 o'clock our time could sing along as well. So it was his brainchild, the virtual choir. But he did it sort of helter-skelter. Then LA, Big Sing LA, was really popular. So it's not the same as our summer sing, where we take a large work and we just sing through it. We barrel on through, and if you make a mistake, you make a good mistake, you know. This is more of a community, because the repertoire, I mean, Woody Guthrie, we have other people like Huddy Ledbetter, and then, you know, when you think of Paul McCartney and John Lennon composing. So they're taking tunes that might conjure up memories for people, and a lot of it has to do with folk music. Unclouded Day, there's a composer in L.A., Sean Kushner, who loves to arrange folk music. He does a really good job with that. So there'll be 2 or 3 pieces that the L.A. Master Chorale will sing alone. We'll just sit down and enjoy the show. If you can imagine, we have PSAV, the audiovisual people at the community center. It's a humongous screen. So that screen will drop down, and then L.A. will come to us. And then they'll shoot images of Sacramento down to L.A. during the whole event. So whatever you're doing at 2 o'clock on the 21st of July, ladies and gentlemen, tune in to lamasterchorale.org, or just go to our website, Sacramento Choral, and you'll be able to witness the whole darn thing live.
I am just fascinated by this. They've
done a royal job, and I want to commend the marketing team of the L.A. Master Chorale. They sent Patrick Brown up here in late April. They wanted to do it. The Pentatonics are a hot group, you know, a cappella. And they dedicated they wrote a song called Sing. There's a really cool bit of percussion that goes with that, body percussion, and some call-outs that we all do. And it's just mesmerizing. So Patrick came up, and we got a few volunteers to meet us at the state capitol on a Saturday morning, late April, beautiful morning. And we laid down our participation in this trailer to promote Big Sing. And then he went to San Francisco and did the chorus there. And then he put together this 1 minute and 40 second trailer that's just amazing. So again, if you go to sacramentochoral.com, click on Big Sing, the trailer, all the information you'd care to have. And whoever does their website deserves to be commended, because they created amazing tutorials. So if you want to learn some of these folk tunes, you can actually go and learn them on there. You can get the music in advance, but now that we're getting close to the event, you can might as well just pick it up at the door. We'll have it for you. But Matt, it's totally free, Bob. Free. I mean, what a wonderful summer gift. So if you have someone celebrating a birthday or a graduation, a belated Father's Day, bring them to this event, you know.
Actually, it's my daughter's 17th birthday.
On that very day,
July
the 21st. Well, you know what? Big Sing, I'm sure. And I recall she loves music.
Yes.
So, you know, we might see you there.
Yes.
And we have, for the rehearsal, we needed to have a really fine pianist to help Don Kendrick with, you know, teach these notes. And so we have John Koza. He's the accompanist at Sac State. So we're fortunate to have him with us. And we have our own volunteers. The Choral Society members will be ushering, and we'll be scanning people in with Eventbrite software. But we encourage people. It is so laid back. You know, this is not your average Verdi Requiem, where we expect you to come and behave and sit and be quiet for an hour and a half. We want you to participate. But I commend the LA Master Chorale for coming up with this and chasing the funding, by the way. You know, just amazing.
So this land is your land, this land is my land. That's a 40s song, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realize it was that. I knew it was old, but I didn't know it was that old.
Yeah, Woody, good old Woody. His name
Woody
was Woodrow. I have a hard time with that name. Woodrow Guthrie.
Wow.
Wow. Isn't that something witty? Yeah.
Father of Arlo Guthrie, who did a fair amount of
good for you. Good for you. Yeah, exactly.
Folk songs himself.
And there's other conductors, Rollo Dilworth. He teaches at Temple University, and he will conduct one or two of the spirituals. His specialty is gospel music. So Eric Whitaker is the grand patriarch of the event, and he's the master conductor and host. And then there's two or three other conductors who will conduct at least one or two pieces during the event itself, you know. And I tell you, what outreach. I mean, the LA Master Chorale dreamt this up, but then they had Eric Whitaker to help make some of it happen.
How long will, is it an hour and a half?
An hour and a half. And since it's simulcast throughout the different hubs, there's no intermission. So you come at 2 o'clock and we're done at 3:30, you know. But I do want to mention the rehearsal. It's optional, but if you check the website, you'll see that it's Thursday evening, the 19th of July, and it starts at 7. We will have an intermission, and we're done at 9:30. And the good news is when you come, you don't have to sit in soprano, alto, tenor, bass section. You can sit with your family, your friends, your neighbor. Just sit anywhere in the main hall. We probably won't have to open up the first balcony because there's 1,500 seats on the main hall. So we'll have ushers guiding people to those seats. But again, it's open. So imagine a free event that draws you together. And I'll tell you, I know that at least 1,000 people will leave with a big smile on their face.
Oh, I'm getting goosebumps thinking about it.
It's just great. But it's been a joy to work with the LA people. They're very well organized, and they do dream big. And they also found the funding. That sure helped, you know.
Yeah.
And they identified at each hub, you know, dynamic leaders who would get the word out, because that's half the battle. And we learned that what you do is you start getting the word out to choirs. Choirs telling other choirs.
Sure.
And church choirs, sure. And community choirs, and university and college. So once we started doing that, it began to steamroll. And then we have our own database. We're working with Metropolitan Arts Commission. And as many groups that we think, like the city council, should know about this. You know, we're putting Sacramento on the map, in a good way.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm proud of that, and I'm proud of Don Kendrick for taking it on.
So we're going to have on the ballot a proposal to divide California into three. I know I shouldn't make fun. We don't do politics here, but I don't think it's going to pass. But. So what do you do with Big Sing California?
There'd be six Californias. Yeah, exactly. Well, I know that Don Kendrick, when we did the taping down at the state capitol for the trailer, he wanted to pass a bill that all politicians should have to sing in a choir.
Oh, that's outstanding.
It hasn't quite made it too far yet, but it was a good idea, you know. But we had more fun with that concept. But it's true. You know, if politicians spent more time singing, I just know that our lives would be better.
You know, we hear about the divisions and we see them, and they're very real. And there are so many things that unite us. Mm-hmm. There's so many...
Yeah.
Good things in America.
Yeah, exactly.
That hopefully we can overcome all this, you know.
Exactly.
But singing is certainly.
Oh, I know. And I'm really delighted with the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra, because they have led the way with Donald Kendrick on this. I mean, you know my track record for singing around the world.
Right.
You know, we've sung in some amazing venues around the world. And now here we are in our own state. We represent Sacramento and the region well throughout the entire year. We do great outreach to veterans. But here we are now drawing the state of California together. And I'm really proud of that.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. It's going to be larger than life. And I hate to say it, but it will probably be over before we know it. Start at 2 o'clock and bang, it's done at 3:30.
Oh, and people will be demanding more.
Yeah.
But can people stomp their feet and say, encore, encore?
They can do that. But once the simulcast is done, once they turn off that signal. But yeah, they're thorough. They had to send the tech team up this past week to check the signal in the community center theater, that there would be enough bandwidth so that they can actually, on that big screen that drops down, show a clear image.
So they did get a grant. Where are the costs involved with the technology?
A lot of it's the technology. Also identifying renting the venues. Mm-hmm. Like we've rented mm-hmm. the community center.
Yeah, they're not free,
days.
Are they? Yeah,
not quite free. You're talking to yeah. someone who knows that. We have a stage manager. We'll pay our accompanist. And then there is a bit of box office duty mm-hmm. because they had mm-hmm. to promote it as well. A lot of it is the marketing as well.
Right.
And then, like St. Patrick Brown having to travel to all these venues to create the trailer. Yeah, that's a minute and 40 seconds, but he traveled to five other venues other than L.A., stayed in hotels for 2 days,
yeah.
made it all happen.
Sure.
And also the printing of the music. Like they're delivering about 1,500 music books this week to us.
Yeah.
And this is an example here. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure you can see this.
Yeah.
Beautiful Master Chorale, Big Sing, California. And that's Eric Whitaker on the cover. But again, it's a good use of the technology. We all know that technology can be abused, but this is an amazing use of the technology to draw us together as brothers and sisters. And the release of endorphins, I can't imagine how many endorphins will be released on the 21st of July. There's going to be this big explosion.
People are going, how can I profit from this?
Oh, no. Get McCormick off that show. And it's exciting to see, like, the L.A. Master Chorale. They have an amazing budget, an amazing season, and to have 100 professionals in their choir, it's just like paid professionals. But that's because they have the budget. Whereas, you know, we have talented amateurs who audition regularly, and we're proud of them. So they're singing from their heart, of course, because they're giving back to the community.
Sure.
We have a good number of alumni coming to this from the Choral Society. And then I know that Dick Franzreb, he does the Sacramento Choral Calendar. He's done a great job of getting the word out. And then the social media is serving us well.
How long have you had to promote this? When was it? This is happening.
Good for you. The main contact with Don Kendrick was made last October to see, hey, would you be available to help us out? But because of the web and the internet and the immediacy of the project, it was only in late April that things started to move. Okay, let's get the website updated. Let's arrange to get the music printed. And then in early May, they had a soft launch of the website. And then around May 22nd, the website was officially up and running, tutorials up there, locations, where to register, how to register. And then in the past week, they've all received a notice. Like, once you register, we want to make sure that you're still keen. So they get a notice from LA Master Chorale, hey, are you still coming? If so, click here to get your ticket from Eventbrite. But I see most people are clicking, so that's cool. So basically, if you consider, I'd say late May through now, a couple months. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing?
So another good reason to go is 20 years from now, when they're doing the 19th annual Big Sing of America, you could say, I was at the first Big Sing.
Exactly. Yeah, the global Big Sing.
I kind of organized it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it's really touching. And ladies and gentlemen, you know, we don't have any sound bites for you, but if you can imagine, hey, Jude, and Lean on Me, and This Land Is Your Land, and a few other great spirituals. And then you can sit back during two or three of the classical numbers, or maybe you could be Milli Vanilli and, you know, fake it. but there'll be two or three numbers that the LA Master Chorale will sing. So we'll just sit down and enjoy that on the screen.
And so there's some spirituals with this?
Yes. There's a series of, it's called American Spirituals. Sean Kushner, the L.A. Composer, he wrote an amazing three American folk songs. Mm-hmm. And then Rollo Dilworth wherever he jumped off the page here on me. But, oh, Bring Me a Little Water, mm-hmm. that's by Huddy Ledbetter. And a couple others, Stand in That River also. And so it's not as if it's going to be like the Verdi Requiem mm-hmm. or the Ring Cycle by, you know. So I think there's enough variety and there's enough audience engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised at the harmonies, because Lean on Me and on Hey Jude and This Land Is Your Land, we're simply asking people to make up harmony.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good and bad.
That is, good. I was going to say.
It's going to be fun. And the whole thing, we'll have a video, like each hub will have a video of the event. So we'll have a professional video person actually scrolling around, also interviewing people at the event, like what brought you here, why are you here, what did you get out of it? Because we want to take this to the James Irvine Foundation after and say, hey, here's what happened.
Here's the result.
Yeah. Here's how you drew our community together. And that's why I am convinced that City Hall, we're trying our best to, they should be very aware of this project because it's drawing the city and the region together in a way that is rare, you know, totally rare.
Now, I'm used to seeing the Choral Society and Orchestra all dressed, very dignified. It's as if the Queen herself is going to be in the audience. And now, I mean, you're inviting the unwashed masses to come in and sing with you.
And you know what? We feel really comfortable doing that. Because bottom line, we do. We want people to enjoy singing.
Yeah.
And there's even, they have what they call swag, you know, T-shirts and things like that. So a bunch of us caved in, and we bought the Big Sing T-shirt. Uh-huh. And then the helpers, we have about 20 people helping at the project. So the Big Sing T-shirts are sort of turquoise. But the helpers are identified because they have terracotta color T-shirts. So it's very informal. I mean, if someone comes in a tuxedo, I'll faint. You know? So, but it is different from what our normal formal, you know, disciplined, because that's what this great music takes. It takes time to learn the Verdi Requiem. But this is a different kettle of fish, and they chose the repertoire wisely, I think, to engage people.
So take Don Kendrick. Who will direct this? What are his challenges here compared to the normal challenges that he faces?
Because a couple things. First of all, he won't even have an idea of what is this choir that's in front of him.
Yeah,
because these are people. A lot of them he won't have met before, but probably a good number he will have. They will not be seated in soprano, alto, tenor, bass sections, so that makes it more challenging because when you conduct, you normally point to a section.
Sure.
So he'll just have to gesticulate generally to the audience. He'll be on the stage with a music stand and a microphone, you know, a countryman. And on the stage with him will be a grand piano and John Koza. So we reverse the tables. The choir's not on stage, they're in the audience, you know. So he'll have to, move the rehearsal ahead. A lot of people are practicing. So the power of choral music is such that even if you don't know your line that well, if you listen to the person beside you, it's amazing how fast you pick up on it. So we're hoping that for every person who's practiced or hasn't practiced, that there'll be two or three who have.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to get through about 11 selections during the rehearsal on Thursday the 19th. And he's very good at pacing this. And he knows that, like, for example, Hey Jude and all that, he'll hardly have to spend any time on that.
Sure.
There'll be other pieces that if there's some good harmony in it, he'll want to make sure. So what he'll do probably is work from backwards from the piece, from the back of the piece, and he'll encourage, if there's a tough line for the bassist, he'll encourage the bassist to stand and sing that line as a team, you know, so that they can all feel strong again. So, and he'll have repertoire and language issues. One of the songs is in French, but that's okay, you know, and the thing is, on the screen will be the big image of the LA Master Chorale, and they will also be singing. So it's like you're being pulled along with the larger group.
I think I know one song in French from my child, Verishaka.
Oh,
whatever that was.
Alouette.
Yeah. Alouette, Alouette.
That's a violent song.
Is it? Yeah. I know, I do, because I don't take French, so I have no idea what, but I remember as kids, we would sing that.
Yeah, Alouette, je te plumerai, I will pluck you.
Oh, really?
Pluck off your nose, and we won't talk about that.
It's a bad song, huh?
Big Sing, California.
I think we learned it in fourth grade.
I don't know that the teachers knew any. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to participate, it's totally free. The main event is on July 21st at 2:00 at the Community Center Theater, 13th and L. Doors open at 1 p.m. The event starts at 2, done at 3:30. And we provide music books at the door and smiles as well. And also, for those of you who can, we have the optional rehearsal on July 19th, 7 p.m. at the Community Center Theater.
It's Thursday night.
It's a Thursday.
7:30 p.m.?
No, 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
And what we'll do, we'll open the doors at 6, and you can come in and sit in the main hall with your friends and family and neighbors. And then Don Kendrick will do some warm-ups. He'll physically warm you up and get you singing. And he'll also welcome the different choirs that we know. We have a list. He'll welcome the different choirs from there. Talk about the background of the operation, because a lot of people, it's a little hard to fathom. Like, what is this all about? It's so big, you know? And then at 7 o'clock, he'll teach 11 different pieces.
But it will not be a simul rehearsal with the other people.
No, for you. Yeah. No, that's right. So this is simply Kendrick on stage with the pianist and hopefully as many singers as possible that will come to the rehearsal. But again, the music's free, the event's free, life is good.
Enjoy downtown Sacramento on a Saturday evening or on a Thursday evening.
Yeah. So it's a Saturday matinee.
Matinee,
right. 2 o'clock. So Thursday evening at 7, the 19th. Again, for good information, sacramentochoral.com. It's right on the front page.
And the fact that it's a matinee on Saturday, you can go out and have dinner.
Yeah. I mean, we'll be done.
Go to the vigil mass at the cathedral at 5
o'clock. Next door. We'll be done at 3:30.
Yeah,
you know. So and we've had great cooperation with the LA Master Chorale as well as the Sacramento Community Center Theater, City of Sacramento. They're doing their best to make sure all the detail is in place.
James, that's a great idea. Yeah. I hope they fill the place.
Thank you, Bob. And it's so great to be back on your show.
Thanks so much, James.
Thank you.
That's Jim McCormick, president of the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra. Again, Thursday, 7 p.m. for the rehearsal. If you can't make the rehearsal, that's okay. And at 2 to 3:30 p.m. on Saturday. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on A Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Lincoln Snyder, Superintendent of Catholic Schools, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Welcome back on this beautiful day the Lord has made, and we're pleased to tell you all about Ministry Days, which is coming up at the end of September, September 28th. And the 29th, the Friday the 28th, Saturday the 29th, all at St. Francis Catholic High School. And one of the presenters will be Mike Carrata. Mike joins us by phone today. Mike, good day to you. Thanks so much for taking the time to be with us. Mike, are you with us?
Yes, can you hear me?
Oh, there you go. Sorry, I couldn't hear you there. Mike, good to have you with us. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. Tell us, you're going to be talking at Ministry Days, teaching for discipleship, the call, the challenge, and difference, and unexpected occasion of grace. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
In catechetics all my life, Bob, and everything from a teacher in a grammar school to directing religious education to Father Flanagan's Boys Home with at-risk kids to being the executive director at the NCEA in Washington, Department of Religion, to teaching college, to doing workshops, to all kinds of stuff. But I've been doing it all my life and decided, actually, to write this book on teaching for discipleship because, to be honest, there's not the same amount of trained religious educators out there like there used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, let me see if I can write down a modern guide to catechetics in today's age. So that's why I wrote the book, Teaching for Discipleship. Yep.
Wow. And where can people get their hands on the book?
Our Sunday Visitor is the publisher, but I think they can get it at Amazon as well. They can Google it.
Yeah, OSV does good work.
I know. In fact, I worked for them for probably 12 years, helping them as a consultant, helping them develop new textbooks.
Tell us about working with Father Flanagan.
Yeah. I still live in Omaha, in fact. Yep.
Wow. What was that like?
I realized how much I didn't know about how to teach. The fun thing was I was in charge of developing a whole new curriculum, a religion curriculum, that matched up to the lives and the experiences of at-risk kids. And the first thing I did was got a grant from the Lilly Endowment, a three-year grant, hired the late, great Dr. Dean Hoagie at a Catholic U, and we surveyed 200 new kids every year that came to Father Flanagan's Boys Home and tried to get a picture of their spirituality. And from that, I built a curriculum, and we had a lot of fun. But I realized how much I didn't know, because you can't teach the same way. They don't have the same cognitive ability. They don't have the same experience, background, training. They're not churchy as most kids in religious ed or parish life or Catholic schools. So there's a whole lot of, and there's behavior issues. So, but it was fascinating and wonderful and really hard, and I loved it. Yep.
Wow. So teaching for discipleship, the call, the challenge, the difference, what are the challenges?
Well, the challenge, one of the challenges is, and I play around with this in the book, I use four words, the community of faith. And we know what that stands for, right? The community of faith, that stands for us, the church. But take the same four words and flip it, and you get faith of the community. No caps.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the challenges is, and this comes from the Vatican document, the General Director for Catechesis, and I quote it, one of the challenges is that we are asked by the Vatican to make necessary adaptations in our language. And it doesn't mean just vocabulary. The document talks about changing our language, and it also refers to translating in terms of sensibility, mindsets, taste, style. How do we translate better? But then here's the best part, without betrayal. So when bishops invite me in and they say, give our pastors an update on catechetics, that's the paragraph I use, paragraph 185 of the General Directory. And I said, guys, this is the challenge. How do we translate without betrayal? And there's a huge gap in the sensitivities between the community of faith, us, and the larger community. We celebrate grace. we have rituals and sacraments, and we celebrate it. Well, they sort of discover it. We have a liturgical calendar that matters to us. They got, like, the school calendar. So there's this huge gap, and we have to figure out how to meet that challenge without betrayal. Because it's easy to sort of betray it, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also easy not to try to translate. So that's a big challenge. But the second challenge is what I call creating a holding environment. A holding environment is a psychological term from way back that refers to how a mother cares for her children. It then morphed into, my wife and I got our doctorates in leadership education, and we found it there. It morphs into the right kind of workplace. What it translates into, Bob, is a holding environment is a safe, sturdy, trustworthy place where people can do the difficult and intimate work of examining their stuff. So that's a challenge, too. Whether you work with adults in the RCIA or kids in confirmation, how do you create that sturdy, trustworthy place where those in attendance can do the difficult and intimate work of examining their beliefs, their attitudes, their choices, their ambitions, you know, their soulful dreams, all of that.
That is a challenge. Wow.
Right. It's kind of different. And the book sort of says, here are some dynamics that are inherent in a holding environment. And here are some techniques and some things to try to keep in mind.
You know what my kids would say? They'd say, is there an app for that?
That's terrific. It's really good, yeah. And, you know, and the other thing is, teaching for discipleship, as much as anything, is intentionally trying to pitch the concept of discipleship as the expectation for the spiritual life moving forward. That's as much as anything. You know, discipleship, everybody has a definition for it these days. I'm deliberately very simple, without detail. For me, I stick with the original definition of a disciple, who is a person who studies the way of the one and puts it into practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, I love that because it says you got to be a student. And there's always more. So you can't stop being a student.
Yeah, boy, isn't that true.
Right. And I had so much fun with that. So what would happen if we teased out the concept of spirit school? Suppose you and I went to and stayed in spirit school. What would that be like?
Oh,
who are
wow.
the teachers? What are the teachers? What are the classrooms? What are the books? Suppose mm-hmm. there are no books. And suppose there's tests but no grades. And
yeah.
we had so much fun with, right? What have you learned so far in spirit school? And what might the spirit be asking you to learn some more about? You know, whether it's, you know, relationships or Catholic identity or, you know, parenting or, you know, all life. You know.
Yeah, if you woke up in the morning, you're still here. There's a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to learn more.
Yeah. I picked that up from a theologian named John Shea, legendary Catholic storyteller who's a good friend of mine. You know, he always says, you know, there's that spirit school. And the older we get, the more we need to tap into it, be a student of it. So, and you know, his point is there's always more.
So, yeah.
So teaching for discipleship poses tries to shape people's imagination that the expectation is you keep studying the ways of the one and you try to live it. Other people push it all the way into, so that means, therefore, you act like this, you behave like this, you go to church so many times, you tithe so much, I don't know about all that. I just want to stick with the root word for disciple is student. That's the root word. Yeah.
We're speaking with Mike Carotta, who will be one of the featured presenters at Catholic Ministry Days. Takes place at St. Francis Catholic High School Friday, the 28th of September, Saturday, the 29th of September. You can register at ministrydays.com, and the good thing is you get to pick which workshops you attend. There are dozens of workshops being offered and some really great ones, including Mike's. Mike, also, you are going to be presenting on unexpected occasions of grace. I'm really interested to hear about that.
Thank you for asking about that. That's my favorite. You know, I've been a catechist and religious educator all my life, and so you're always working on techniques and approaches to catechetics. But this is a book that's just a collection of unexpected encounters I had along the way in the last couple of years. A shuttle driver at going from the airport to the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
A baseball coach from the Boston Red Sox, as I'm having dinner about to teach a course at BC, and a conversation we had, I had just seen him on TV. Sitting at my mother-in-law's house, and she tells me what she wants read to her children at her funeral.
Hmm.
At a rectory one night, after I had done a presentation and spending a night in a rectory one night, hearing from a priest who happens to tell me of the various things he's got to do, and I'm thinking, holy, just all kinds of things. But the whole point of the book is, where does grace come from? And can you and I sort of note how grace can come in unexpected ways, mm-hmm. inside the church, outside the church, in the pew, but also out in the world. I think it was Elizabeth Ann Seton who said, be prepared to meet your grace in the daily circumstances of life.
Hmm.
Yeah. And what I hope to do in the workshop, in fact, I did it at St. Clair's in Roseville.
Oh, wow.
As a Lenten mission maybe 2 or 3 Lents ago.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I tell a few stories and see what does it say about grace, and then when have you sort of had similar experiences, and what does it tell you about from where grace comes?
Yeah. It seems, I know in my experience, it comes, it's not something you work at, it's not something you plan for, it comes unexpectedly, and it seems to come when you need it most.
Yep. And the trick is, can we catch it? Can we wait? Can we pause enough to embrace it, collect it? Or does it come to us and we let it go by because we got our eyes and our attention on other things, you know?
I carry a mason jar with me and hope I can screw the lid real fast and keep it.
It's funny. My wife and I have often talked about a memory box.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes you also can sustain your own vocation in life or vocations in life by collecting these moments of grace and putting them in your
mm-hmm.
memory box.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you got to pull them out when the weather gets nasty.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know,
get a little rough. You pull them out. Remember. Why the work is still working. Yeah.
I was coming out of Mass the other day with my wife and family, and we were chatting with a friend out front and her family,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
we were sort of lamenting all the problems in the world and mm-hmm. all that stuff. And she looks at us and she says, just remember one thing, and I know some famous author said it, I don't remember who it was. She says, just remember this, grace bats last. And I thought, that's good. I like
that. I haven't heard that.
I like that.
Say that again, Grace.
Grace bats last. It's a perfect baseball metaphor. It's, you know, I mean, everybody wants to be the home team and have last bats, you know. And you're just telling me about the Red Sox, you know. And Grace bats last. And since then, I've said that to my wife a million times, and she said it to me a million times. And every time I see something that just like, oh, man, where's this world going or what's going to happen now? I remember that, Grace Bat's Last.
You know, it's funny. I'm making a list, and that's, I think that's how I'm going to start the workshop in Sacramento. I'm making a list of statements about grace, and one of them is that sometimes grace can be messy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I tell a story of a person. I'm going to a high school reunion, and one of my childhood friends tells me a story that I had never heard before about a compassionate act he did for a classmate. Could be life-changing act he did for a classmate, but it was shady. So here it is. And sometimes when we show compassion and mercy, it's also, it can sometimes tick off the rest of the family, for example.
Yeah.
Or make a friend wonder, are you going too far? Are you going to get taken advantage of? Should you really? And so it's all of that related to mercy. You know, sometimes it's messy. Yeah.
Yeah.
The paradox involved. It's, yeah. Anyway, what I'm not sure about, Tom, to be perfectly honest, I'm not sure I do a good enough job in the workshop helping folk go deep into their own experiences of grace. You know, you tell a story, and sometimes people like the story.
Sure, sure.
But can they make that story a mirror that shows them something about their own experience of grace? I'm not sure I'm good at that yet.
Well, it'll come. It'll be a grace-filled moment.
Yep.
Mike, it's a real honor to talk with you, and a real joy. And I know people are going to greatly enjoy you, both of your workshops, Teaching for Discipleship, The Call, The Challenge, The Difference, and also Unexpected Occasions of Grace, Friday and Saturday, the 28th and 29th of September. And so much looking forward to it. Thanks for taking the time with us today, and I hope our paths cross again soon.
Thank you, Bob. God bless you.
Hey, God bless you,
too,
Mike. Thanks so much. That's Mike Carotta, Unexpected Occasions of Grace and Teaching for Discipleship, the call, the Challenge, the Difference. Wow, great, great stuff. So, man, boy, they get some great... great speakers lined up for Catholic Ministry Days. You go to ministrydays.com, and they also have some keynote speakers that everybody gets to listen to, and Holy Mass. The schedule is you can get all that online as well. But for Friday, it all begins with registration at 8 a.m., Holy Mass, 9:15 a.m., and then there are a lot of exhibitors, et cetera. Then there's a bunch of workshops from 11:15 to 12:15, followed by lunch. And then the English keynote will be Dr. Hoffman Ospino. And in the second workshops that afternoon, Saturday, the Holy Mass again at 9:15. The keynote speaker in English will be Father Robert Spitzer, who is just a tremendous, tremendous speaker. Also in Spanish, the keynote speaker will be Dr. Hoffman Ospino again. So it is in English and Spanish, some tremendous workshops, and just going to be a great, great event at ministrydays.com. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
Greetings. This is Bishop Jaime Soto from the Diocese of Sacramento, inviting you to join Ministry Days 2018 in the footsteps of the beloved disciple. Join me on September 28th and 29th at St. Francis High School for the largest gathering of ministers, catechists, and Catholic school teachers in our diocese. This is an excellent opportunity to network with others who serve our parishes and schools and who are co-workers with Jesus in building up the kingdom in this part of the Lord's vineyard. You can find more information at ministrydays.com. Again, that's ministrydays.com. May God bless you as you walk in the footsteps of the beloved disciple following our Lord Jesus.
Underwriting for the Bishop's Hour is provided by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call. They are at 855-525-2285. That's 855-525-2285. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from Christine Cipperly, marriage and family therapist. If you're looking for help with family or personal problems, if you'd like help from someone with a Catholic point of view, someone who understands the importance of marriage and family and affirms the dignity of every human life, Christine Cipperly is a trained and experienced counselor of married couples, families, and individuals. She can work with you on your marriage, your parenting, or your individual struggles in a way that will not violate our faith. Christine is a wonderful, wonderful therapist. Give her a call. She's at 530-400-4757. That's 530-400-4757. We'd like to thank Christine Cipperly and Catholic Cemeteries and Funeral Services for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. On it my Savior, both bruised and crushed, that God is love and God is just. At the cross deserved life have I been given through Christ crucified? You call me out of death, you call me into life, and I was under your wrath. Now through the cross I'm reconciled.